With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself now. Everybody knows and I feel left out.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, Walter Morrison represents Houston Nutt, and he has had a pretty busy couple weeks. He joins us now. Walter, how are you? Thanks so much for your time.
Yes, sir. Guys, I'm doing just fine. How are y'all today?
Hey, everything is great in our neck of the woods. I want to start with this. Is it fair to say that this could have all been prevented, all of this fallout, Hugh Freeze having to resign, it could have all been prevented had Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze fallen on their sword and just said to Houston Nutt, we're sorry?
Absolutely. That is all Coach Nutt has ever wanted. From the very beginning, all he wanted to do was coach another team. And as long as this was hanging over his head and as long as he was being blamed for it, that was not a possibility, and that is all the man ever wanted.
Would, in your mind, Houston Nutt, and I guess in his mind, would Houston Nutt be a head coach today if not for the actions of Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss, as the lawsuit alleges?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think as long as that cloud, though, was hanging over his head, particularly in this day and age, the chance that he was going to get to coach again was just not going to happen.
Is the plan, even though now that Hugh Freeze is obviously out, is the plan for you all to still pursue the legal action against Ole Miss? Did this extend beyond Hugh Freeze?
Look, the truth of the matter is that the fact of last night has not done anything to change how this has all impacted Coach Nutt. It is, in a sense, unfortunate that it got to this point. But in the end, you know, we still have a client who has not been able to coach, who's had this cloud put over his head. The university still hasn't taken the proper action that it needs to take so that Coach Nutt can get out from under this and move forward. So, unfortunately, this doesn't really move us any closer to a resolution because the university still hasn't done what it rightfully needs to do.
Walter, did you all know there was more than one call of that nature, even though there was just the one in the stretch of phone records you all received?
I don't want to get too deep into the details, but I will tell you that what we uncovered to date was just the one phone call.
Okay. Why do you think Hugh doesn't redact that number? He had the opportunity to, redacted some, from my understanding, some personal calls. You think he just didn't recognize it? Did he think none of his other phone records will be pulled?
You know, that would be entirely speculation on my part. I have no idea. I really did not completely understand that the university had Coach Freeze redact the calls. I guess I should have understood that. I knew that there was an effort undertaken to redact personal calls.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's important to understand is while our initial requests perhaps allowed the university or Coach Freeze to redact personal calls, that would not be the case and will not be the case as our litigation moves forward. So I think that in the end, we were going to discover everything there was to discover. It's just going to take a little bit of time. But I don't know why he did it. I certainly can't speculate to that. Maybe he just made a mistake.
We are, of course, talking to Houston Nutt's attorney, Walter Morrison, here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And just in terms of the process, what stood out about the 313 number in particular? I mean, were you just going down the list of all the numbers on his phone records, and was it a painstaking process? I'm just curious as to what the process was for that side of it.
Yeah, you know, we had the phone records analyzed, and it quickly jumped out at you.
Is it? You mentioned that it's unfortunate that it got to this point. Is there any part of Coach Nutt, and I wonder, because looking at it from his standpoint, that Coach Freeze, you could say, ruined him, but is there any part of Coach Nutt that regrets that the personal issues came to light for Coach Freeze?
Look, Coach Nutt is about as fine a man as it gets, and I can promise you that he is not reveling in this. He did not stay up last night celebrating this. I'm sure that he regrets that it got to this point. So certainly he's not happy that Coach Freeze wound up in the position that he's in. He never wanted a pound of flesh. He just wanted the university to live up to its obligations and to treat him right. And he did what he was supposed to do, and that's all he ever wanted. So I don't think it's a situation where he's glad that this happened or happy that this happened. It's very unfortunate that it happened. But it's not Coach Nutt's fault that it happened.
Right.
It's the university's fault, and it's Coach Freeze's fault, and that's where the blame should lie.
Do you all feel like Ross Bjork had as much to do in terms of the blame, as much to do in this defamation of character, this suit that Hugh Freeze did?
I think so. And if you've read, and I'm assuming that you have read, the detailed complaint that we filed, I think that will be proven to be true.
You mentioned this cloud on Houston that is as the lawsuit alleges, a result of a narrative peddled by Hugh Freeze and the Ole Miss administration. Even if the lawsuit is settled and it's a favorable outcome for you all, does that cloud go away? It doesn't go away, certainly, at that point. It's just it's settled and they, I guess, admit culpability for their actions.
Well, if you begin from the premise that no university in this day and age is going to hire a coach with a cloud of an NCAA investigation and penalties hanging over their head, if you start from that premise, and if the university does the appropriate thing, acknowledges its responsibility for this, and that for 2 years it has lied and peddled this false story to the detriment of Coach Nutt, and if that all goes away, and Coach Nutt then can say, you know what, I don't have these problems hanging over my head anymore, and I think you'd get the opportunity to coach again.
So what is the next step in the legal process here?
Well, it's just gotten started. The complaint was just filed a week or 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The university has a determined time in which you can come into court and file a response. And it'll take some time. I mean, this is a situation where the court will enter some scheduling deadlines, and then this formal discovery will begin. And so it'll languish on throughout the fall and certainly into the spring of next year, unless the university does the right thing.
When the news broke at SEC Media Days right before Hugh Freeze was scheduled to go on, did you anticipate that this would be the outcome? Did you think that this getting out would ultimately lead to a Hugh Freeze resignation?
I really didn't. I have my own reasons for why I say that, but I really did not think. I really did not think it would get to this point.
I'm just curious because we had heard from the administration several times. They stood behind Hugh for basically everything that was turned up by the NCAA. They stood by him, and then this comes out, and swiftly he resigns, and they say that he would have been fired had he not resigned. Were you surprised by the sort of the swift change in tone by the administration toward Hugh Freeze?
I don't know. I can't say that I was necessarily surprised by it when the specific revelations came out. I guess my question is that I think it's pretty obvious from the details that we allege in our complaint that there have been some very serious, deceitful things done over the last 2 years, and apparently that wasn't serious enough for the university to do the correct thing, do the right thing, apologize to Coach Nutt, and then take whatever internal disciplinary action was necessary. It was only when these sort of sordid events were revealed that the action came to be. So, I don't know. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And I just want to clarify, because I want to make sure that I got this right, and going from what you said, at any, they could still do the right thing in your terms. They could still come forward and apologize at this point. They haven't reached a point of no. They could do it now, and you all would drop the lawsuit. They could still do the right thing, and you would be okay with that if they still did it at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, Coach Nutt wants to be a football coach. That's what he wants to be. But the university is going to have to do the right thing, acknowledge and admit its culpability, and we can all move forward.
What have you all's interactions with the Ole Miss administration been like?
Well, we've really not had much in the way of interaction. You know, there have been some correspondence back and forth, and, you know, we've requested information, and they have not always timely given it to us, but we've been able to get information. But in terms of having real substantive discussions, there really haven't been much.
But you are certainly open to it, though, if that could be revisited.
Look, my co-counsel first addressed this issue probably 2 months ago with the university, mm-hmm. reached out to the university, tried to get them to engage, and they ignored him until it became obvious that a lawsuit was getting ready to be filed.
Mm. And now here we are. He is Walter Morrison, attorney for Houston Nutt. Walter, we appreciate the time so much.
Thanks
for the clarification today.
Really appreciate it.
Okay. All right, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Yep. He is Walter Morrison, the attorney for Houston Nutt. And then obviously the most striking thing out of all of this is that it could have been all prevented if Ole Miss would have just admitted what happened. And you read this complaint. It is detailed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is insanely down to every journalist.
Yeah,
and timing of tweets. All they would have had to do is say, we're sorry. Now, I do think it's going to be tough for them to prove that Houston Nutt is not a coach because of this. I do think that.
But that's got to be hard to prove.
Yeah, like, I mean, I imagine
ADs have made decisions that you're not going to be my coach because of that's got to be hard to prove in court.
Well, especially when you're
unless you've got the ADs willing to say it. I don't see how.
Well, nobody's gonna. I mean,
who's saying that?
You don't have to specify why you don't hire somebody. You know, you just don't have to do that.
That's what I'm saying. That seems to me like it'd be very hard to prove in court.
You know, and you can just look at. You know, you can just say, listen, I don't want to hire Houston Nutt based on how his tenure at Ole Miss ended, on his win-loss record. Whatever you can choose, whatever reason in the world you want to choose, so as to not hire Houston Nutt. I think it's going to be very hard to point to that very specific. Oh, we're not going to hire Houston Nutt because of violations that occurred on his watch at Ole Miss.
Right.
There are lots of different things that go into making a decision about why or why not to hire a coach. So I think just from a legal perspective, that will be interesting to watch. But there you have it. That was Houston Nutt's attorney. This is a lot.
When you look at how this could have all been avoided, you just said this is a lot. You're right. We're not even talking about this. If number one, he redacts the number. Number two, just throw the apology out there. You're still the coach. You know, you guys are going.
But now you're not going to apologize though, because then if you apologize, right, that's going to make you. That's a horrible look for you.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know, so like that, like these things
I wonder if there's a way it could have been done where not everything comes out. You know what I mean? There's a way that does it that clears Houston Nutt. There always is. With the way those things are worded. But no, to your point, you can't come out with a full one, because if you come out with a full one, you're admitting what you've done.
Right.
You're admitting that this is all on you.
And that's embarrassing, too. Now, is it as embarrassing as, you know, Hugh Freeze having to resign?
And all the personal stuff comes out?
Because let's be clear, Hugh Freeze is only resigning because of Houston Nutt's attorneys coming up with the phone records. Now, there were some journalists who got it too, who heard a tip too, but they got the phone records and they were dangling that as, hey, listen, we're prepared to do with this what we will if we don't get what we want.
Well, that's why I asked him if any part of him regrets that it got personal, because it's one thing to bring down a guy's career. He brought down a football coach, but he also, I mean, you could say he brought down a man. I mean, you got deep into
this
man's life. You're affecting his family
at this
point.
It's full repair mode at this point.
I mean, the guy's got a wife and three daughters, and you know, to get your point across, you had to get dirty with it.
And I know this, obviously, this is needless to say, but we certainly feel for them whose personal lives are...
That's who I feel most
affected.
That's who I'm thinking about most today.
And playing out so publicly. You know, I feel, you know, because his decisions ultimately are costing them.
Oh, man.
You know, their privacy and their livelihood. And, you know, you certainly hate to see that.
Yeah.
So definitely thinking about them in this difficult time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.